Running a call center sales team is definitely filled with challenges, but at the same time, can be very rewarding. There is no manual for how to win the call center sales game, which is why this podcast exists. As your guide, our goal is to help you overcome challenges, discover new tools, innovate where possible, and hear stories from others who have made it to the top of the call center mountain. Welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast with your host, Jason Cutter.
Kenneth, welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast, my friend.
Thank you, Jason. I've been waiting for this moment probably most of my life. I knew when I got out of college, prognostication, I was thinking I've got to get to the Scalable Call Center Podcast someday when I grow up.
Yeah.
And I'm still not grown up.
That's pretty impressive considering that nobody knew it existed until recently, but I'm sure you just had that feeling, you know, I've got to do this thing.
Yeah.
And it's there. So I think what's fascinating before we dive into this is that as of when we're recording this, we actually met about a month and a half ago at a conference for Lead Generation World that our friend Michael Furay put on. And I say this because I think it's always fun when there's online relationships that start to grow and develop, and then you meet people in the real world and face to face, and then how that develops. I just think that's fun, and I appreciate meeting you and where this is going.
And
you being here.
Yeah, especially at that event where some of the few people that were networking closely together and not just having our jaws hang open at the bottom of the floor, that we were at an event in person, getting out after, you know, as the pandemic started to wear off, thank goodness.
Yeah. And it was definitely a good event. Good to see everybody in person. And and I'm super excited you're here. As I mentioned in the intro, you are all about marketing, agency work, branding, lead generation. Obviously, I know you through lead generation channels. You have an amazing podcast that's focused on marketing. And where I want to go with this today and the value that I think you have to share, we'll just see what comes up. Everyone that knows me knows that it's going to go where it's going to go, is that pinnacle point between marketing and sales and where both can be successful. Obviously, there's the constant siloing of sales versus marketing. It's usually sales versus everybody, if we're just honest. But it's, you know, sales versus marketing. And where do you see both the biggest challenges from the marketing side with sales? And then also, what can sales do be better at working with marketing, or what marketing's giving them?
Yeah, well, this could be like another 12 hours we could discuss this and never come up with all of it. So the biggest problem that both sides have is that they live in these silos. And unfortunately, not nearly enough marketers and sales and customer service really have a common goal. You know, at most you'll hear sometimes a CEO talk about having that North Star, but the goals that support that North Star aren't necessarily the same. Granted, your goals aren't going to be exactly the same for marketing versus sales. There's different functionalities, but really approaching how you approach the customer and having that focus on it is dramatically different within each of the different walls that we serve inside of a brand. And again, I'm on the agency side now, but it was just 2 years ago, I was on the brand side for a billion-dollar brand. And so I saw this over and over again. And then the ones that I've worked with my entire career, it's almost a common problem across the board, is that they don't support the same goals. And it becomes a lot of fighting for territory. It's almost like you're fighting for, you know, it's almost political clout or budget or whichever way you want to see it. There's always different pursuits, but they don't always align trying to get to the same goal. But if they did have the same goal, maybe some of the missteps could be overcome. But again, there's so much inefficiency created and your customer doesn't care. Your customer doesn't care about any of those silos, and it creates these massive problems that don't fix the problems they need fixed.
So you mentioned it, which is a fascinating way to put it, not just the KPIs, the metrics, but the goals. What are the common goals for marketing?
Sure.
What is their goal?
So let's dive in a little bit further since you brought up lead gen. A typical lead, for example, if you said you had the Glengarry leads, okay, That would be a totally different thing to a call center manager, to a salesperson, or a marketing person. The quality of leads and where, and the quantity as well, but the quality of leads could be a much different illustrated picture depending on who you ask. And they should be pretty aligned with the same. Unfortunately, though, a lot of marketing people, especially digital marketing, we think of getting, you know, we killed it for our client. Well, if you over deliver for a client, that doesn't necessarily mean sending them 1,000 leads and they don't convert well. The call center manager may think your leads are completely junk, but you're not connected to the customer who's on the phone. The call center manager is. You're simply setting up something that they click on through Google or Facebook, for example, and you may over deliver, but if it's not converting, there are a ton of people in marketing and advertising that still don't understand that those leads can become a real problem for the people that are servicing them and trying to convert those into customers. And then the salesperson who may be servicing them in this example on the back end, once they become a customer, may see it completely different from the customer service team. So again, all of these people with good intentions are trying to answer somewhat the same problem, which is servicing their own brand. But to the customer, and I'm trying to concentrate because my dog keeps snoring while I'm sitting over here doing this recording.
I love
just it. Hoping that doesn't come through on a directional mic. Those goals can get a little misaligned along the process, but to your customer, they don't care. They don't care about any of the sausage making process. And that's for companies to work out internally. And usually the better company that provides the better service and better experience and understands that will deliver, convert, service more customers and keep them longer.
I love that. And what's interesting for me throughout my career in organizations running call centers, I was always in charge of sales and marketing. So VP of sales and marketing. Several times I was in charge of VPs, in charge of sales, marketing, and operations. So basically everybody in the whole chain, because my philosophy is like what you said, which is it's one customer. They don't care. So it's one customer, whether it's marketing, sales, customer service, processing, billing, it doesn't matter. It's one company and it's one customer. And to break down those silos. So what can a, let's say, owner or sales leader do to help facilitate those conversations for breaking down this perpetual silo that just keeps happening?
Well, and I'm going to go back to what you just said also. It's almost, that happens all the time. The roles that you were in, it's almost always being driven by sales. That role, very rarely do you hear of somebody progressing into that role. I mean, even the CGO growth that we're seeing coming out of CMOs, not a lot of CMOs are automatically being promoted into CGO roles, for example. It's salespeople being pulled into CGO roles. Mm-hmm. And that is also a concern. Not every salesperson is the greatest marketer in the world, as you well know, and they don't necessarily understand the customer as well as the call center manager who may be on the phone directly with that person. But to get to go back to your question, and please repeat your question, because I had to tell you that story.
Well, and I agree, like sticking with that point, the key is that, you know, if that salesperson moves up, they're used to seeing the world in one way. And yeah. It's really rare. I've met some, but it's really rare to meet a person who started out in sales, move their way up into leadership, get into positions you're talking about, or CRO, chief revenue officer type role, where they're viewing everything and not still be biased to picking the favorite kid, which is sales out of everybody.
Well, and so now me and your question popped back up because I yelled squirrel and the squirrel left. So the way to help break down some of that is, and this may sound overly simplistic, but the closer that each of them get to the customer and then understanding each other's roles will do a lot. And here's the problem. A lot of times marketing teams are not closely aligned to the customer. They may see data. They may use some of the most amazing technologies. They may use all the super cool social listening tools and have a conversation with them on social. That's not a real conversation with somebody, especially in the B2B world, for fixing anybody's problems. The good tools that you can use in digital marketing might be, you know, as an actual conversation. I know we were talking prior to like what you see with drips. Those kind of conversational technologies are great. And as well, we were also talking about Invoca. Invoca's tools where you're listening to actual calls. For a lot of marketers, that's as close as they unfortunately ever get to an actual customer.
And that would be great if they did that. I mean, it's the same reason why when I've run sales teams, I have them spend time in account management, customer exactly. service, or retention, usually early on, which is, why don't you go listen and handle some calls about people who want to cancel, and that will make you a better salesperson because you'll go, oh, wait, that's what people care about. I should sell them and explain things different because it gets real, right? And I think that same thing with marketers. The more, like you said, closer to the customer and the long-term relationship with the customer, customer service side, and you know, account management, if they're listening to that, then they can speak a better conversation up front.
And without going into too much detail, the sales team needs to learn more, trust more in marketing, understand what they're going through. The same thing has to happen with customer service. This is not meant to poo-poo on marketing by any stretch of the imagination. But one of the things I often do at digital marketing conversations, and I think it's more of a slide for my own peace of mind, but I remember working at a brand and walking around, and I didn't have any pictures at my cubicle, but everybody else had pictures of their trips, their selfies, you know, pictures of themselves and their friends, and they were all great. But it sparked kind of a thought for me at one of the conferences where I spoke, and I had walked down the aisle at a store where the picture frames were. And I took a picture of it and I put it on the PowerPoint, and I said, you know, what marketers need to do is buy one of these frames, send me the bill, I'll pay for it. It was in the Walmart aisle, so this was like $5 frames. I said, take a picture of one of your customers, and we're not making it, you know, creepy or Buffalo Bill or anything, but take a picture, you know, get to know one of your customers, speak to one, really focus on them and their needs and how you're servicing them. And that wasn't a knock against people taking selfies. It's just that so often we see customers as a customer number, and brands have this problem, whether you're in billing, whether you're in customer service, whether you're in an email thread that's basically set up through an automated drip campaign that a marketer set up. Salespeople tend to know them a little bit closer if they're tied more closely. But for the most part, what brands are more focused on is looking at that customer ID, that unique number, you know, with some letters in it, than whether or not their name is Jason Cutter and here's how they had service. I remember one of the brands that I actually fired as a service, and I was particularly interested to see how their marketing campaigns went to pursue me later. It's one of the stories I've got in my book coming out, is that I fired the service I've been doing business with for years. They did a bad job. We yelled with each other and on the customer service agent on the other end. I beat them up a little bit. And then I said, look, you guys want me back. You got to win my business back. I'd been with them for years, gave them thousands of dollars. They didn't call me over a year. What they basically did is they set me up to start getting emails. And over a year, I got over 500 emails from them. And it was one a day minimum. Most days it was two, or there were a few that were three or four, depending on how bad it was. I only got three pieces of direct mail. And they were all, here's $125 off, come back to us, or something like that. Nice. Most of the emails would come through and they'd say, here's $125 off. This offer expires by midnight on Friday night. Saturday morning, I'd get an email with $150 off. It was something better. Yeah. So it was just junk over and over again. And then about every 100 emails, I would get an email that said, we were good together. Let's give it another go. And I thought about, you know, if you got in an argument with a friend or with your spouse or your child or your parents, would you set them up on this kind of, you know, automated drip campaign? And this is how you're going to try to repair relationships, is through crappy retargeting methods, you know, especially with email and a few direct mail pieces. No, they could have picked up the phone one time and called, but that's one of the problems that we've created this weird distance through odd technologies, and they probably could have earned my business back, but obviously I switched. I honestly enjoyed the show and never unsubscribed because it turned out to be a good chapter in the book. But at the same time, this is part of the problem where we're getting, we're taking everything we think works with all these wonderful technologies, but we're not applying it to where it can really benefit you or me or at a basic level.
Yeah. And I think with that story, one part that resonates with me, other than being on that same side as you with that follow-up campaign, except in personal life, not in professional life. So I've been there, and it also doesn't work. But it's the fact that so many organizations, and this, you can see this in the culture of the company that you didn't work with anymore, as you know, as a client of theirs, is that they, it's a numbers game, right? It's like, let me put somebody in a sequence and let me just use technology to run this process. And then numbers wise, if I get a conversion and if we scale that, and then I get some more funding, then I can buy more of this, and then I can just hit more of the world, and hopefully someone will do it, instead of, you know, more unscalable things that are also more relational depending on your business model. But again, to me, that's a corporate culture indicator, right? Like, when a company has no phone number on their website because they really just don't want to talk to anybody over the phone, they want people to just sign up via a form.
Well, and probably to give you a better example that's not too heavy customer experience wise, but I've used Invocus technology in particular to think about this, because I've seen it happen over and over again with leads, is we will create ad campaigns that start where obviously nobody that's creating the campaigns or setting them up in Google or Microsoft or Facebook or whoever it is, they're not going to know exactly who that customer is. They're going to know who the ID is, they're going to know the target persona that they're going after, and they're driving that. But what happens a lot of times too, as well, is that they put, just to give you an example, they put on, you can get, if you sign up today and click through here and fill out the form, you can get this for $29.95.
Yep.
So they click through, they go through the entire process, they fill out a form. And then if it's a complex sale, they get to a customer service agent who follows up with them. And then it turns out it's not $29.95, it's $39.95, or it's 50% off and it's something that costs you $50, not $30. This happens all the time. And I'm telling you, having used these call intelligence platforms now for years and seeing this with large brand name clients, that would shock you how much money they spend and often waste when they don't analyze this, is that the customer first sees, you know, ABC123. And by the time it gets to the call center person, it basically becomes rubber baby buggy bumper, and they are confused. And when you confuse customers by not aligning your strategies correctly, from sales to call center to marketing, digital marketing in particular, it can really cause confusion in that journey that will hurt your sales process throughout, and it drives customers away nonstop. And especially in the era that we're in now, where more people are switching to new brands. And I hear all the wonderful stuff about creating super fans all day long, but to the general public, if you upset them in the process, unless you were the only company name Apple making iPhones, there's a pretty good chance they're going to change to another brand. I have an amazing TV made by a well-known manufacturer that I absolutely love. If they screwed up the process, it wouldn't take me 2 seconds to go buy some other brand that I find on Amazon or Best Buy. And that happens across the board with people today, especially in the digital world, because we work on building up some of that brand loyalty. But when you confuse this process and don't enable your teams to work more closely together, it really drives a lot of conversions away.
Hey, it's Jason here. We'll be right back to the podcast in a moment. But first, are you ready to help your inside sales team close more deals? In my experience, there's a certain percentage of your team that acts more like order takers than sales professionals. The first step to creating a scalable sales team is to equip your reps with the right mindset and proven strategies to transform them into quota breakers. To build a team of authentic persuaders that will crush their goals, email Jason at cutterconsultinggroup.com or go to www.cutterconsultinggroup.com.
I love that you brought that up, because that conversation that the customer is having, potential customer, and then current and future customer is having with your brand, with your company, with your organization, they're having that conversation in their head based on everything that's happening from the first exposure to the brand, to your marketing. Even if you're buying leads, right? Because we met in person at Lead Generation World, which is about performance-based marketing. And so that's more about people who are generating leads that they're then handing over, selling to other companies. So you might not even be in charge of that, but that first experience is starting a conversation in their head. And if that's different than what your salespeople are saying, then that's a big red flag. And then if they become customers and what sales said is different than what's true about your product or service, then you have retention problems and a reputation problem. And it's about that whole thing being continuous.
Well, that's just as important with affiliates too, because so much more of what we're driving now is affiliates, and just putting your logo on something or some brand similar looking logo off in the distance isn't going to necessarily help that thread get pulled through.
No. And I think this goes back to what we first started about, which is these silos where everybody is focused on their own goals, their own metrics, what they think is success for themselves. And so they're trying to tell the best story possible to win at the game that they're being given. Right. So you think of marketing, here's your goals, marketing, create this many leads. Okay, cool. I can do that. I just got to figure out what story to tell. That may or may not be accurate, but I just got to figure out what story to tell until somebody tells me different. And most people will default to whatever's going to help them win a game if there's not enough parameters. Where do you see things like technology, reporting, transparency helping with that communication, with breaking down silos in, let's say, just sales and marketing?
So the most important thing from a technology standpoint is that I wish that more people would get to are shared and common dashboards. You can build out amazing things in Tableau or any other tool that helps report something in a pretty way. But if people, that's one easy way to align people on goals. They can march forward in their department and their way to drive towards that piece of it. But when everybody knows this is what we're working on, this is what we're supporting, and this is our dashboard as opposed to my department's dashboard, it can make a massive difference. And there's very little transparency in a lot of, especially larger corporations that have amazing elaborate dashboards that I've seen over and over. But when they're partitioned or driven off, or you don't understand why your department's dashboard looks like this and their metrics look like something totally different, that's a real problem. Second of all, another thing I think that will help eliminate more of this is a marketing thing in particular, but it applies to both sales and call centers, attribution. The more that people understand where your lead came from, the more transparency through the journey, the more less reliant on it was converted last on Google, so that we just got to give all of our money to Google. That's not the path that you or I or any normal human take, is just see one ad one place somewhere and that's it. Google's a fantastic tool. They search engine. They created the world's greatest attribution tool, if you will, with their analytics. But they're one channel, and social, for example, places so much more importance in today's journey than it did even 5 years ago. TV still plays a massively important part of our existence, whether we call it digital video or anything else, but really understanding how to connect all those pieces together and understanding where to connect the dots is not easy, because we've been reliant on some bad attribution models for years. And so having an understanding, I'm going to kind of even use sort of the I'll take the why, find your why, the cynic version of that, but find, you know, find your understanding your customer journey. Why can make a real difference to understand what path your customers have gone through. And again, this is not easy. It's why I work for an amazing company that has a patented attribution technology. Just being able to look at that journey helps you understand where customers go through a thread. And unfortunately, too many departments think they're the, you know, especially salespeople. You know, I know when I was a salesperson, I was a lot more arrogant and thought that the customer started and stopped with me. And then when I was in marketing, it was the same way. We all do. It's, you know, we're all, but understanding that the customer, again, doesn't give a damn about sales or marketing or any of those walled gardens you've got internally, or, you know, or on any actual walled garden with an advertising platform. It doesn't matter to them, and they're not taking the time to worry about which department you're in or somebody else is in. They're buying your product or service, and if it doesn't fulfill their needs, they're moving on.
So it's fascinating you talk about attribution, which I don't discuss very often, but it's
very few people do. Yeah.
It's a great reminder because I see it and I deal with it all the time with my clients and when I was in organizations, but it doesn't come up a lot in these kind of conversations, which is that attribution is so difficult. And in my experience is it will always lead to hurt feelings in marketing because marketing wants credit for it or wants to know what they did that caused this deal to move forward and close. But as things have gotten more interconnected and interlaced with, like you said, there's social, there's email, there's video, there's commercials, like, especially if we're talking longer sales cycle, even if you bought a lead, somebody filling out a form, now you're calling them. If they don't close in that one phone call, which very few sales cycles do, if they don't buy in that one moment, and then you're doing a follow-up campaign or retargeting or any social media, then how do you say, like, okay, they bought a week later. Is it because I called them again? Or is it because they saw us on social media and they said, hey, I really like this and now I'm ready? Or was it the email? Or was it nothing at all? And so unfortunately, salespeople, and this is for managers out there, this is really important to understand, salespeople don't care who gets the credit for why it closed other than them, right? It's just being fair. But that means marketing is missing that feedback to go, where should we spend our money? And am I winning? Because otherwise it looks like nothing is happening and somebody is going to get mad at somebody.
Well, I brought up the example earlier where, you know, an advertisement started with ABC123 or whatever I called it. And then it got to the call center. So if the call center didn't convert it, whose fault is it? The marketing team that pulled together the bad ad or the call center person who didn't convert them? And, you know, you're probably going to, that's where you get in the fight of which one are the quality leads. And so often there's a lack of knowledge of understanding what actually started and stopped. And that doesn't mean that the call center person needs to sit with your ad copywriter or tell, you know, Google's engine, here's the verbiage we want to put on creating your ads. But it does require at least that you have these kind of conversations and, sort of empathy, if you will, between teams to at least set up the conversation. And then another focus, at least with attribution, that's really more on the larger advertising and marketing ecosystem, is that if you think about models in general and what most companies use is modeled attribution, and some of it has to be modeled across the board. Not everything can be actualized because you're not going to recognize, you know, a billboard, for example, unless it has certain unique qualifiers, but it fits into, you're on 50 different channels. You've got to figure out the best way to navigate the noise so that you can put more money to it. But if you think of 2019 data versus 2020 data, I mean, I wasn't predicting a pandemic in 2019, but my budget, if I'm CFO, I got to pivot my dollars substantially to know that we're spending a lot more time on digital than we were out of home. And now in 2021, my model data isn't worth, or my historical data for 2020 or 2019 isn't worth anything. So the models are broken. The more real-time you look at what created that trigger, not just your internal company dynamics, but how you focus on, I watched a TV ad the TV ad made me pick up my phone and convert, you know, on an e-commerce page. So who gets the money? Is it
the TV ad? Oh,
no, because you're going to recognize it in GA, in Google Analytics, as it was a digital ad, because that's where I searched and converted. I didn't touch a screen on my TV. So it becomes a problem over all the time with ad platforms, not recognizing that journey, which takes a lot more than 7 touch points. That was what we used to say, but you're talking about, you know, hundreds of touch points, if not thousands, depending on how many ads we're bombarded with all the time. Recognizing those touch points and understanding what I saw on social media made me interested, for example, and then I saw a TV ad, and then I picked up my phone and I pulled it up on the search engine and I converted. So all three of those are walled gardens.
Yeah,
you've got Facebook and social media competing for dollars, Google competing for dollars, and Microsoft competing for dollars, and then you've got TV. Even whether it's digital or not, you may have, you know, Dish or Comcast or whoever it is fighting for dollars as well. Hulu, any of them. That is a much different understanding of where your leads started and came through when pulling them through that journey, let alone whether or not you figure out, did the ad copy that the marketer wrote do something wrong in their ads? And then it gets to the call center and who gets blamed? So again, this is a little broad, but really focusing on connecting the dots, other than just the spray and pray mentality, which has worked for a lot of people, can drive a much better conversions. And, you know, the better call center teams, that's where they're killing it. It's not because they have always the nicer, more well-trained agents. That's extremely important. But the kind of team that focuses on connecting the dots between sales, marketing, and your customer service or call center, rather, can really drive a much better lift. It makes a better experience for the customer.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the biggest things I've seen speaking to the call center sales owner, especially the owners out there who are listening to this, is to also automate and make as much of that automatic for the attribution to put together those stats and not rely on a person. So most of the time, the default, especially in a CRM, is the salesperson is putting in the lead source or tracking some things or whatever. And of course, you're relying on a human, and relying on any human to do anything day in and day out perfectly is just never going to work. It just, you know, people are people. We're all people. And so that can really mess up the data. So the more you can have it automatic, where it's giving the attribution, giving credit along the way and building that story for marketing so they can replicate it, I think always helps. So you've spent a lot of time on the brand side, now on the agency side. Obviously, you're dealing with the marketing end of the businesses and seeing things post-marketing. Where do you see, because this is a call center sales show, where do you see the near future of call center sales going, especially omni-channel with everything going on in their strategies, whatever comes to mind? Where do you see that going in the near future?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have worked closely with call centers as well, and have been a call center agent for a brief period of my life as well, but I escaped. Because I think they have a tremendously tough job. I am excited about more of the technologies being able to, for example, listen to call center conversations, creating out of those conversations, creating better optimizations, leveraging those kind of technologies to drive better performance on ad performance, for example, like Invoca. And I'm not in a sales pitch for them, but there are other competitors out there. But being able to take something like that, to listen to a call center agent and then take it and apply it towards a Facebook ad or a Microsoft or Google ad, is something we've been getting better and better and better about over the last few years. And that's worth its weight in gold. I am excited as well about where these conversations come up, especially with text messaging, which is why I'm a big conversational text messaging, which is why I'm a big fan of drips. But I do think that the more e-commerce evolves into more complex capabilities, and we're still light years away from replacing that conversation you can have with a salesperson. Right. You can't, there's a lot of things about life insurance, for example, or solar panels for your home that is just not going to work with an automated bot. And we're 10 years away from that. I don't care what anybody says. 10 years ago, they said we'd be done, and we're not. But the technology is getting better and better. So the biggest thing that I think people will need to really do to succeed is be able to start, as I mentioned before, connecting, understanding how to connect the dots between the three groups, call center, sales, and marketing. We've gotten over the last, say, 5 years too codependent on platforms and channels. And I don't get excited by anybody ever telling me, here's 12 tips to make your Facebook campaign grow by 38% next year, because that's what we did last year. None of that means anything, because if it doesn't, again, if you're not looking at a lead that came through all of your channels and understanding where did it, you know, what did it say correctly or incorrectly? Where did it convert with what type of graphic? You know, how did it get to the call center and interact with them? And why did it not? You can't blame a group and you can't praise a channel. And that's where we're really going to have to start spending a lot more time aligning.
And I think it's great. You mentioned the tools and the technology, the call analytics, the call listening, the feedback, the more AI driven text, those kind of tools. I think that's good. I think it's important for call center owners out there listening. I think that's important to have a balance of the tools and then also the conversations, because as long as you have something that requires one human, your potential customer, to get help or advisement or guidance or wisdom from another human, which would be your sales team, then as long as that's still the case for some population, I mean, there'll always be people who are like, yeah, I can order solar panels online and I'll install them myself. Okay, cool. That's not the customer that needs to talk to you on the phone. Give them the options. They can do that.
Absolutely.
But otherwise, they need to talk to somebody. And to me, I see the success being when you have those technology, those tools that are facilitating the conversation, supporting the conversation, and setting it up, not replacing the heavy lifting for the conversation. Because when you try to abdicate it to like, okay, my SMS platform is going to sell for me because my sales team sucks and I know that they're not so good. So let me see if I can have other things do it for them, or have this call listening platform just tell me what's wrong and hopefully just fixes it for me, like babysitting my kids so that I don't have to raise them. Like that doesn't work. So there's always that blend.
Yeah. Those, and again, these are just two examples of response technologies. I think one of them's an inbound, one of them's an outbound that we mentioned. I think we got to the point where we got a little bit lazy with sort of a Salesforce mentality, and we felt we could just push everything out. This is not picking on Salesforce by any stretch, but we just felt like we could just spray and pray, and then what they could show in Salesforce would fix a lot of it for us. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't really turned out to be what we thought. And so, and again, to one other thing that I want to bring up, the better trained that each of the people are, as opposed to just the technologies, is going to make a real difference as we go forward. I think in particular marketers, and this is my bias because I've carried a bag in sales before, I do think more marketers need to be more performance-based. And I'm all for creating heartfelt moments and all the fluffy stuff that goes with all that marketing. It's extremely important. I don't mean to be dismissive of it, but you've also got to have a little bit of a killer mentality I hate to call sharks killers, especially somebody that's nicknamed one, but you've really got to lean into, if you're on the marketing side, your sales aspect other than where we've push some of it away. And I'm not really certain why it went off into other directions, but you can be a great performance marketer and still create emotional moments that trigger, conversions and sales. We just got to be better marketers.
Got it. And I think that's a great place to stop. Before we wrap up, I just want to share with everyone, as we're doing this new podcast, what Cutter Consulting Group does. And I know you're familiar with it, again, having met in person and shared a conference together. But for us, we focus on helping frustrated business owners by creating scalable sales systems, as well as training and coaching around the authentic persuasion framework to help those order takers go to quota breakers. And you can find out more information at cutterconsultinggroup.com. Kenneth, thanks again for coming on the show. Super excited that we made this happen. I know that you have your website, asharksperspective.com. So people check out your podcast, which is great. Again, like I tell people when I talk about you, I am somewhat jealous because you have the shark branding thing. I do have a degree in marine biology, but I kind of stopped dealing with shark stuff. So you've earned it. You hold that title. You do shark stuff all the time. So I love it. I also know that you're really big on LinkedIn. People can find you at linkedin.com/Kenneth Kinney with two N's and two N's. And then you also have AIMediaGroup.com. That pretty Absolutely. Much cover it. All kinds of great stuff. They can find you everywhere, anywhere.
Anywhere and everywhere. If they look up Kenneth Shark Kinney, and I was just in the Caribbean over the weekend swimming with sharks. If they can't find me in the water, they can find me either at AI Media Group, A Shark's Perspective, or on LinkedIn.
That's awesome. Kenneth, thanks again for being on Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. I appreciate you and this conversation. Hopefully it was valuable. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Mahalo.
Did you get some inspirations of ways to help your call center sales team win bigger, stronger, and faster? Hope you are fired up to scale your sales operations. If you got value from this podcast, please go in and leave a rating and review. Also, make sure to forward this episode to anyone else you know in the call center space. We appreciate your support in growing the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast family. And if you have any comments, ideas, or feedback, contact us at cutterconsultinggroup.com.